This is News and Notes. I'm Tony Cox in for Farai today, who is away this week. Time once again for Africa Update. Our top story this week, Charles Taylor, another no-show in court by the former president of Liberia to face charges of war crimes, and former Sierra Leonean rebels linked to Taylor found guilty of crimes against humanity during their country's brutal civil war. And First Lady Laura Bush kicks off her third trip to Africa. To bring us up to date on these events, we're joined by NPR's Africa correspondent Ophébia Quist-Arctan. She's at her base in the Senegalese capital, Dakar. Ophébia, welcome.
And greetings from sunny Senegal.
Well, let's get started. He didn't show up on June 4th, and he failed to appear in court again yesterday. Of course, we are talking about the former Liberian president, Charles Taylor. This is the first time an African leader is facing war crimes charges, but this landmark trial has yet to really start. What's going on, Ophébia?
Well, Charles Taylor stayed in his seaside cell in The Hague. He said he feels he cannot get a fair trial, and he's listed a catalogue of complaints to the Sierra Leone Special Court. And it's not for the war in his own country, Liberia, that he's facing these war crimes charges and crimes against humanity charges, but in Sierra Leone. But he says he's not been given enough resources, enough logistics, legal access, or a proper defence team to be able to mount a proper defense for these very serious charges. I mean, listen to the chief prosecutor of the Sierra Leone Special Court, Stephen Rapp. He described what he called the scope of the atrocities meted out against civilians by rebels and the armed factions. And of course, the prosecution is saying that Charles Taylor backed these rebels and helped to finance the war in Sierra Leone. Take a listen.
Human beings, young and old, mutilated. Rebels chopping off arms and legs, gouging out eyes. Girls and women enslaved and sexually violated. The exploitation of the resources of Sierra Leone used, not for the benefit of its citizens, but to maim and kill its citizens. The very worst that human beings are capable of doing to one another.
Well, Ophébia, also related to the Charles Taylor trial in The Hague was the conviction of three former militia leaders in Sierra Leone on Thursday. But before you tell us what happened there, tell us about Bakary Stevens. Who's he?
He was a man who fled his home country, Sierra Leone, and went to live in Britain. But that wasn't until after he had been caught up in the civil war in Sierra Leone, for which Charles Taylor is being tried, and also the three rebel leaders. Now, during the civil war, back in the 1990s, he described the horrors suffered by members of his family and by many Sierra Leoneans.
My stepmother was brutally murdered when the rebels attacked the village. My niece was killed right in front of the mom. She was raped in front of the mom. Hundreds of my relatives suffered. These are just the few that comes to mind.
So on Thursday, tell us who was found guilty and what they were found guilty of in Sierra Leone.
Alex Tamba Braima and Braima Bazi Kamara and Santigi Bobo Kanu, they were all senior members of an armed faction in Sierra Leone that toppled the elected government of Sierra Leone back in 1997. Now, these crimes against humanity and war crimes include unlawful killings, raping, mutilating, and terrorizing civilians. Now, the Sierra Leone Special Court has been at work for quite a few years now, but this is the first time that they have issued, that they have handed down war crimes verdicts. The people of Sierra Leone are elated because they feel that people are finally being held to account for what happened during the civil war. And of course, they want to see Charles Taylor brought to account, being the first African leader to face such charges.
The name of a man very well known here in the United States is in Sierra Leone right now. I'm talking about Colonel Gaddafi of Libya. He's also been to Guinea, and he's driving through West Africa on his way to Ghana for the African Union summit next week. Now, Colonel Gaddafi is known to be flamboyant. In the past 10 years or so, he has espoused African unity, however, and a United States of Africa, sort of. Ophébia, tell us more about that.
Yes, you can't miss Colonel Gaddafi, and he never moves on his own. You know, he moves with all those female bodyguards who look rather glamorous for bodyguards, but he doesn't move without them. And these huge convoys, stretch limousines, Mercedes, Benzes, and others. Now, he's been in Sierra Leone. Before I get to the United States of Africa issue, he's been in Sierra Leone, and a lot of people in Sierra Leone actually blame Colonel Gaddafi because they say that not only did he help to finance the Sierra Leonean rebels during the Civil War, but that he also financed Charles Taylor. So there was quite a lot of hostility from the political opposition and from some ordinary Sierra Leoneans who felt it was a damn cheek that Colonel Gaddafi ever got to their country. But he's banging on the same drum. He's been talking about a United States of Africa for many years now. Everybody who listens to News and Notes must know, of course, this isn't Colonel Gaddafi's idea. This goes way back to the independence era in Africa. And of course, it was Ghana's independence leader, Kwame Nkrumah, who first spoke of a united Africa and a United States of Africa. But listen, in Ghana at the moment, where the African Union summit is about to happen, there's been a debate amongst civil society and all sorts of people about whether this is a realistic possibility, a United States of Africa. Listen to this delegate.
What does unity mean to the ordinary man and woman on the street? We need to break that down. Is Africa ready for a United States of Africa? Should Africa unite? 500% yes. Is Africa ready for a United States of Africa? Most certainly no.
You know, it's interesting and it's hard to tell, and perhaps you can help with this, Ophavia, what the sense is about having a United States of Africa across the continent.
I think that delegate got it spot on, that a united Africa is an absolute priority because Africa needs to speak with one voice. It needs to be a trade bloc that speaks with one voice. It needs to be a political bloc that speaks with one voice. But whether Africa can become no longer a continent but a country with all the leaders singing from the same hymn sheet, that's another reality altogether. But it's one that Colonel Gaddafi feels can happen. He says it's not realistic that so many micro states in Africa, so many small states can possibly work as individual sovereign states, and that for 40 years, the Organization of African Unity as was and now the African Union, that all the summits have failed because there is not proper unity. But the idea of a pan-African government, a single African government, I think many people feel that's not a reality and perhaps not even a priority, that Africa's got other priorities.
We have one more. We have time for one more issue that we'd like to bring up with you before you get away, and that's this. The U.S. First Lady Laura Bush is on her third trip to Africa, and the first stop, your base, Dakar. What is she visiting the continent for this time?
The three subjects that have really been up for discussion in Dakar today, because she's now gone off to Mozambique, have been prevention, HIV/AIDS and malaria, as well as education, and especially the empowerment of women. So she visited a hospital here in Dakar, and she visited a school, and she's come with her daughter, Jenna Bush. And it was really education that Mrs. Bush was focusing on. You know, she used to be a librarian, and she has been really pushing the fact that not only Africa's girls, but Africa's boys as well, must go to school, because it's when you educate your population that a continent can move forward. And on the issue of HIV and AIDS, that also has come up quite a lot during her visits to Africa. As you know, President Bush is calling on Congress to add $30 billion over the next 5 years to Africa's HIV/AIDS prevention. But there are those who say, along with the American money, unfortunately go restrictions, because the Bush administration advocates more abstinence and fidelity rather than how you prevent AIDS through condoms and the use. So people are saying, you know, you mustn't dictate to Africa. If you want to give money to help prevent AIDS, which is devastating the continent, good, but don't prescribe.
How is she generally received there?
You know, she seems like quite a modest woman. And to be honest, the Senegalese are very welcoming people. So you had the children there who were dancing to Youssou N'Dour. The listeners probably know him. He's Senegal's arguably the best known singer here. He sang for Mrs. Bush and for Viviane Wade, the First Lady of Senegal. But his message was also, don't give up on Africa. Africa is trying. Yes, there's poverty here. Yes, there's HIV/AIDS here. Yes, there are things that are not good here. But there there's also progress. There are also Africans who are trying to push the continent forward. That's the message he gave to Laura Bush. That's the message he gave to those there. And he was applauded roundly and sang a song.
NPR correspondent Ophabia Quist-Arkton speaking with us from Dakar, Senegal.